You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you're here with me. Thank you so much, all of you, for continuing to support the Paranormal Portal and checking out the shows and also recommending the show to friends of yours or people you know who are also interested in the paranormal. It's grown incredibly, and we have all of you to thank for that. Thank you so much. We have not spent a dime advertising this show, and it's completely grown organically and by grassroots word of mouth. So thank you all for that. So tonight's show is going to be a real cool episode. It kind of fell into my lap, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. And a lot of times, you know, we plan out our shows and we try to figure out what we're going to talk to you about. But this one, the gentleman joining us tonight actually contacted me and said, "Hey, can you help me understand what's going on?" So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Ty, who is an over-the-road trucker, and he's going to share with us all of his experiences, and his experiences have spanned pretty much the entire length of his lifetime, and incredible stories, incredible experiences, and it's just an incredible discussion. So thank you guys for joining us, and let's get into it. So what's going on in your world? What's happening?
I've noticed a lot, especially listening to you and Wes. People who have experiences with just about anything, they don't even have to be cryptids or paranormal in general, from an early age, seem to notice things more often in life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or have a more open mind to what could be out there. And especially on Wes's show, he'll get guys or people who've seen ghosts in a younger age or experienced Sasquatch at a younger age, and they experienced it again later in life. So I don't know if that's the same with everyone, but when I was younger, I grew up in a house in Louisiana that was built on an Indian burial ground, but between the burial ground and our house, there was an old plantation house there that housed something like 50 or 60 slaves at the time. And my sister had went through a phase where she was into stuff like the Ouija board and stuff like that. And she would attempt to contact spirits on land. And most of the times it wouldn't work, but there was a few times where we had questionable instances where, like, okay, that was that was weird. That's something we can't explain. The setup of the house, my sister's room, my brother's room, and my room were all on the same hallway, and completely across the house is our parents' room. My sister and my brother both have seen a little boy and a little girl. One would stand at one end of the hallway, the other one would stand at the other, and they would make motions like they're throwing a ball back and forth.
Oh, wow.
And my mom one night was in her room, and each room had its own bathroom. Like, my parents' room had a bathroom, my sister's room had a bathroom, and my room and my brother's room shared a bathroom.
Okay.
And my parents' bathroom door was open, and she's seen a girl walk from the vanity towards the stand-up shower that was in the opposite corner of the bathroom. And she asked my dad, well, what's she doing still awake? And my dad said she's been in bed since 9 o'clock. And about this point, I think it was around 11 o'clock at night. My mom walked in the bathroom to see what was going on. And there was nobody in the bathroom. Like,
oh, wow.
It was completely empty. She checked the walk-in closet around by the shower. And even behind the curtain that was in front of the bay window, just to make sure my sister wasn't just trying to hide to get away from trouble. And nobody was in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
And we had a cousin one night stay the night, and we woke up the next morning, and he was wide awake because out of my brother's window, there was a little oak tree in front of the house, and he swore up and down all night there was a little girl standing under the oak tree staring at him through the window.
Oof.
So he couldn't sleep, and then we lived up. It's kind of weird because our house on to the right, there was a hill that went down, and then it flattened out where our house was, and it went down into another hill. And at the bottom of that hill, there was a bigger oak tree. And my sister and my brother and a bunch of their friends have all claimed to see what it looks like an elderly black man, or I wouldn't say elderly, they all kind of described him as maybe middle-aged, but standing under that tree staring up at the house.
Wow.
But back then in that we lived 20 miles from the nearest town. So back then in that neighborhood, all we had were elderly white couples, or our nearest neighbor, which is about a mile away from the house, was a widowed white man that owned a chicken farm. And so it was really out of place for that to be under the tree. Not saying that we lived in Louisiana, but we weren't segregated, if that's what that sounds like. But it was just weird seeing a black man under a tree in an area, especially at night, in an area of the country where you get caught on somebody's land, you can risk getting shot having the cops caught on you.
Right.
So through life, we've all kind of had mishaps, like our dogs. Our dogs would have just randomly bark at the corner of the house at things that just weren't there. Or one time, my grandmother gave my mom a picture of Jesus Christ, and my mom hung it on the wall. We went shopping that evening. When we got back, the picture was on the floor with the glass broken all the way across the room.
Oh, man.
So, and just stuff like that when we were growing up. But once I got older and kind of progressed into this career to where I've been, the only state I've never driven in is Hawaii. And that's if they built a bridge, I'm pretty sure I'd have to go eventually. So I've crossed many back roads. I've been past the Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through Gallatin, New Mexico, really, when I listened to your story about the or your podcast about the skinwalkers,
mm-hmm.
and one of the stories you read actually happened outside of Gallatin, where the woman was walking down the road and the man pulled up beside her to offer a ride, and she just run off at superhuman speeds.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I experienced the same thing, but when I, it was probably about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I was actually coming into Gallup when I passed a woman walking down the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Trucks, you can't stop like cars, but it is in the middle of nowhere. It's a woman walking down the road. You know, your first thought is, okay, maybe she had a wreck and I just didn't see the car. She's trying to get to town. Maybe I should stop and help.
Sure.
So I pulled over and I waited for her to get up onto the truck. Well, or around the front of the truck before I just said, hey, do you need a ride? But she never showed up to the front of the truck. So I thought maybe, you know, she might be afraid that the truck driver might pick her up and run off with her as they see it in the movies.
Sure.
We're all psychopaths out here, but.
Yeah.
But, so I got out with a flashlight and I walked behind the truck just to see if I could find her because I stopped within a quarter mile of her and I only waited maybe a minute. So, I mean, I should have been able to at least see her in the taillights or with the flashlight in that amount of time. She wouldn't have been able to make it across that stretch of road in that amount of time without me being able to see her. But when I got back there, she wasn't there. And a dust storm had recently went through. So the shoulder of the road has got dust on it enough that when I'm walking, I can see my footsteps. So I'm walking back as far as I think I can see her, but I don't see footsteps. And I don't walk very heavy. I don't stomp around like I'm in a marching band or anything. But
yeah.
Wow. But I should have been able to see at least foot or at least some kind of track indicating that she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I just gave up on trying to find her. Like maybe she's just hiding. Maybe she just don't want to lift. That's,
yeah.
But as I'm walking back to the truck, I hear it's kind of a cross between kind of like a howl, like you would hear from like maybe a coyote,
mm-hmm.
and a woman's scream. Really, is the best way I can describe it. It only lasts maybe 2 seconds in length in total, but it was just something that it startled me enough that once I heard it, I kind of caught the next gear and just kind of got back to the truck as fast as I could without making myself look like I was a chicken.
Yeah.
So when I stopped in Gallup, I kind of explained to the woman at the truck, at the place I stopped at the counter, what I'd seen and just how weird it was. And she said, that's kind of normal for the area to people see stuff like that. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not a good thing to tell somebody that's never been here that y'all got these weird occurrences. I might not want to come back now.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's intense.
But there was an instance in Mississippi where I'd come up. I was on a back road, kind of early to visit. It wasn't dark, but it was getting to that point where it's kind of like twilight dusk or a twilight dawn, I guess.
Yeah.
Where the sun just started to come up, and you could see the road a little bit even without your lights, and. I come up to an intersection, and across the intersection, there's another truck coming in my direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we both stop, and we both start to take off. Well, as we take off, this what looked like a man to me run out in the middle of the intersection and just stood there.
Oh.
And it was looking toward my truck, and I stopped just to make sure he wasn't trying to get across the road. That probably lasted about 30 minutes, and I'm just sitting there staring at me, and the other driver had stopped too, so I know I wasn't the only one seeing, and the guy I come on the radio was like, man, what's this guy doing? He's just sitting here staring at my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, that's weird, because he's staring at my truck too. So,
wow, you both saw it as if he was staring at each of you.
Yeah, and
wow.
When as soon as he said that, the thing is, whatever it was, it started walking towards his truck, and got right along the driver door of the truck. And the guy, because I can't blame him for doing what he did, but he just, he stomped on it. He didn't stick around to see what it wanted. if it's trying to get the truck with him, he didn't give it a second chance to think out a plan, game plan on him, I guess.
Right.
But as soon as he took off, it was almost like spraying water into a fan. It just kind of dissipated and disappeared, and it was in just a matter of 2 seconds, it was gone.
Wow.
Something that we'd seen run into the road and stare at both of our trucks simultaneously, just gone in the blink of an eye. And that was, it had me wondering if stuff like this occurs to you, if, like I said, my sister experimented with a Ouija board younger, and I'm wondering if that kind of stuff kind of attaches to you and just kind of follows you around with your life to give you these reoccurring experiences no matter where you're at in the world. Like, people who experienced the Bigfoot twice, would that be something that could have, would it be coincidence, or is that something that, you know, you've seen it once and now when you go out in the woods, you're more on alert, and then you see it again. And it's like it attaches itself to you to where you're more aware of it. When you see it, you actually recognize what's going on. But in the case of like what I've seen in Mississippi, I don't know how that would correlate to what happened to me in my younger years, because we never lived in Louisiana, you know, Mississippi, but I don't know. I guess there's more questions than answers for stuff like that.
Right.
I've never been able to find anybody that kind of answered the questions, because where I grew up was a really religious area of Louisiana. Like, everybody went to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you paid your tithes and stuff like that. So talking about anything paranormal with anyone could get you laughed at, or even in most cases you'd get mocked and made fun of, or they would tell you you need to start praying harder to get so you can get your stuff right. So whenever you would see stuff like that, you wouldn't be able to just go talk to anybody, because it was almost like it was taboo to say anything. So for a better portion of my life, until I found Sasquatch Chronicles and then Wes had mentioned the Paranormal Portal, I didn't have any idea of, you know, who else might be experiencing what I'm experiencing, and how can I get it off my chest to where it's not a, I wouldn't say a burden, but it's not just sitting there lingering on my mind, you know. It's
right. Yeah.
Is this just me, or is it anybody else, or is anybody experiencing the same things that I'm experiencing, where I had the experiences when I was younger, and now it's just kind of overflowing into my adult life. So that's when I decided to reach out to you, because of the range of depth that your podcast goes into. I mean, you don't cover just one, and Wes don't cover just one thing either, but you're so versatile in what you do. I mean, you cover like skinwalkers and haunted hotels and really anything. So that's why I kind of contacted you first, just to kind of see if maybe you could help me maybe clarify why this would be happening, or I guess really just why this could be happening in reoccurrence to me throughout my life.
So what I think, just quickly, what I think is that since you've had experiences throughout your life, I think that everybody has these potentials within them, but for most of us, it just remains dormant, because not a lot of people maybe have had experiences in their younger years. And either one of two things is going on, in my opinion, one of which is, you may very well be a gifted person with some kind of psychic ability and have never really known it. Or perhaps you, just by virtue of you having experiences, it awoke that awareness in you that we all have. And so, you know, it just remains something that you can see. But the curious part is that when you're at that intersection, and even the other truck drivers saw it, so perhaps you may be the, you know, sort of a beacon of sorts. And that happens a lot with sensitive people that have, you know, probably latent psychic abilities, that they just tend to be drawing these things to them, because I think spirits can see that light and other paranormal things can see, you know, that there is something different or something resonant within you. And, you know, perhaps they're drawn to you in that regard. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And that was another thing is, ever since we've grown up, I'm the youngest of three. So I'm the only one of anyone in my family that is still running into these experiences. Like my sister is the one that even kind of brought it into life for us, but she doesn't experience any of it. My brother doesn't experience any more of it. My parents don't experience any more of it. It's just me. And that's what had me most concerned. I never thought about being, like you said, a spiritually gifted person, but because I don't know if I'd want to handle that kind of pressure, but
well, you know, and it's not necessarily a like you have to take up that mantle and become a psychic or anything. It's just that, you know, I suspect probably through your life you've had really strong intuition about things, and you know, you've just got a good common sense, and you tend to be pretty aware of your surroundings and people, and so, you know, you probably just have a really developed sense of empathy. And you can just pick up on those energies and again, serve as kind of a beacon for energies that might be in the area.
Yes, sir. Would that be the main reason this kind of keeps recurring for me, where like they feel more comfortable coming towards me than anybody else in the world?
Well, I think, you know,
if that's the case, that other truck driver probably don't want to ever see me again.
So
it scared the fire out of him.
Right. Now, I think that in a lot of cases, and this is just purely speculation on my part, but I think in a lot of cases there are quite a few earthbound entities, you know, people that they maybe used to be people, sometimes maybe they weren't, but I think that they get stuck somehow. And so they just want perhaps acknowledgement. And so that's they probably perceive that energy from you. Again, just speculating, but they figure that maybe you can acknowledge them. Because I think about it, and I think about, wow, could you imagine having passed on, and all of a sudden, you know, you didn't, for whatever reason, transition, and you're in a world where nobody sees you, nobody acknowledges you, and suddenly, you know, you become aware of this other presence, this other person that seems to have this light, and so you gravitate towards that just because, you know, perhaps, maybe it's an incredibly lonely existence, I don't know, but maybe they feel that you can help, you know what I mean?
Well, you mentioned incredibly lonely. But now that I do this job, I kind of run out of how I work. I work 4 to 5 weeks straight, and then I go home for 3 or 4 days at a time. And the entire time I'm working, I'm 100% alone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it could be something that's drawn to me because it knows how lonely it can feel when you've been out here for so long? And
oh, sure.
No one to talk to but the steering wheel, and that might be why it kind of gravitates towards me a little bit.
I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, probably coupled with the fact that you do have some sort of awareness, whether you realize it or not, but and maybe the fact that, you know, in a sense you're a kindred spirit. You know, that's very possible.
Yeah. I've never thought about it like that. When we were kids, we all experienced it, but once we all kind of got out of mom and dad's house, and now that the kids have moved on and mom and dad's still living in the house by themselves, they don't have near the activity, if at all, now that we're gone.
Right. So, well, you know, and that's
so it just,
maybe you were the common denominator in that situation, that once you left, so did the activity.
Well, I hope they listening to this. They won't invite me back to Thanksgiving.
Just tell them to set a few extra places. All right, Ty, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. I think it's got to be about time for us to pay the bills here. So we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, so don't go away. And we will be right back with more of Ty and his incredible stories and experiences in the pathway of the paranormal, the haunted highway, however you want to say it. But we're going to be right back, so don't go away. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it. Today we are joined by Ty, who is an over-the-road trucker, having had a lifetime of paranormal experiences. So welcome back, and let's get back to it.
Every house that I live in, I'm 26 now, and I've got a wife and three kids. Mm-hmm. The first house we lived in, my wife had actually went and looked at it by herself without me because I was at work, and she fell in love with it. I mean, that was what she wanted. We were young, and we hadn't had kids yet, so That's what she wanted. It was something nice and cozy for her while I was going on work. But every time I came home, it's like the atmosphere in the house would change. Like, while I was on the road, she would be just this really happy-go-lucky, just everything in the world is going great kind of person. When I come home, her attitude, and it felt like there was a certain tension in the house. And there's been a few times where she looked at me and said, you know, I just want to punch you right in the face. And I wouldn't be saying anything to her. I mean, wow. I'd just be sitting there watching TV or something. And she'd be like, you know, I have times where I just want to punch you in the face.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
Just family feud.
Sure. Wow. So you feel like there's a lot of energy in the air?
A lot of the times I do. And when I first started driving for the company I work for now, the truck that the first truck I'd ever got here was a truck they had to go recover from a man's house that had passed away in the truck. Like, he made it home, but it was late at night, and he fell asleep in the truck, and his wife found him the next day dead in the bed. And my first week was fine, but that second week, I kept getting a really strong smell of cigar, and I just thought, like, you know, when people smoke in a car, that smell kind of lingers in the seats and the dash and the roof, and it just kind of, every now and then you get a whiff of that smell.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'd played it out to be. Like, maybe it's just something that's just still stuck in the fabric and we ain't got it completely out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night I'd left my truck running because it was hot and the generator of the truck wasn't working. So the dash lights were still on. And it was creating a glow through the curtains on the sleeper. Well, I woke up for whatever reason, looked up, and it looked like smoke was flowing back and forth in front of the light. I'm thinking, oh God, the truck's on fire. I've got to get out.
Right.
But when I jumped up, and I opened the door, the smoke's gone. I mean, you can't see smoke coming out of the truck. There's nowhere here in the truck there'd be smoke, and there's no smell of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, when a vehicle catches fire, it's always an electrical smell, electrical fire. So you would have that really burnt wire kind of smell, and I'm not smelling that. The only smell I'm getting is the cigar smell again. So the next morning, I called the driving manager that I had at the time and told him what was happening. He was like, I don't want to say the other driver's name, but he would drive mostly in the night, and he smoked Cuban cigars. Well, I'm not a big cigar smoker. I've never smoked a cigar in my life. I've never been around people who smoke cigars, so I don't know the differences in the smells of the cigar.
Sure.
So I just kind of, at that point, I just started researching different cigars and what kind of smell they put off, and I found one for the Cuban cigar. And the smell that was described on the website that I'd found matched the smell that was coming out of the truck.
Oh.
So I kind of put it in the back of my head. It's like, maybe in my days of just waking up, I was just seeing things and the smell is just still in the truck from when the guy had broke the truck. I'm still trying to be rational about the whole situation.
Right.
But at the same time, my imagination is going, yeah, you got a ghost in this truck. So, about 2 or 3 months pass and the smell doesn't come back. I don't have any experiences like where I wake up and see the smoke. So I think, maybe it's just passed. It was just the rational thought in my head. Maybe it was just the smell and he finally got it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night, it's probably about, well, I want to say 3:30, 4 o'clock, somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up to the smell again, but when I roll over, the cloud of smoke is thicker and heavier. And through the curtain, I can see what looks like a black mass sitting in the passenger seat of the truck.
Oh, wow.
But it's not, it don't look like a human form. It looks more like just like a big black, I wouldn't say cloud, but maybe a mist. And it's just sitting there. I mean, you can clearly see the mirror through the door through this black mass, but it's definitely something that is kind of blocking the view, but it's still kind of see-through, I guess. I'm not sure how to describe it 100%. But,
sure.
But at that point, there's a, even as a kid, I've never been up. I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen a spirit. I've never seen orbs. This is my first time experiencing this.
Mm-hmm.
And on a truck, if you watch most trucks, they got a side door on the sleeper of the truck. That's an emergency exit for the truck.
Okay.
I'm thinking somebody's done broke in my truck. I don't have a weapon. It's time to get out. So I kick the latch and jump out of the sleeper into the lot and nothing but my boxers. The truck driver next to me is looking out the window at me like I'm stupid. And I look up in the door of the passenger window because that's where the emergency exit is. It's ironically, it's on the passenger side. I look and the black mass is not there anymore.
Oh.
I'm out in the middle of December in Minnesota and nothing but my underwear. I'm pretty sure the driver next to me thought I was smoking something pretty serious. And
yeah.
Because there's no way you're going to get out in that kind of temperature in nothing but your underwear unless you're on something. So.
Yeah. That's...
So I shut the door. I got back in the truck and that next day, I called my driver and they're like, look, you're going to have to get me a new truck or you're going to have to find a new driver because I'm not doing this again. So,
wow. That's pretty intense. I think I might be losing
like
you.
That.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I thought I was losing you there for a second.
Yeah, I'm coming up and down some hill right now, so I'm not going to lose me here in a second. Yeah, that was really my first experience with that. And, ever since, I haven't been quite as afraid of, like, when I was at the intersection, it had me concerned, but I wasn't scared at the same time. I was just, oh, hey, what's this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, it's been like that. I mean, it's only been a hand. I could probably count the experiences like that on one hand, really.
Sure.
But it's been so, it's happened so many times that it just started raising a lot of questions. Like, why is this happening to me and not anyone else? Because when I was a kid, I always heard if you mess with a Ouija board and the spirits attach themselves to you, and I'm sitting here blaming my sister, like, man, you should be the one having to deal with this crap, I think.
Sure.
But now that you kind of explain it like you explained, I guess I can see kind of what you're saying with it as far as how you explain it. And it really kind of makes more sense to me now.
Oh, good. Good. So
I appreciate that, because I never thought of it like that. I didn't really know what, I've never known the difference between like psychics and mediums and anyone like that. So, but I've never really looked into it either. I guess out of fear of thinking I might be one, but
yeah,
now that you kind of explain it the way you did, it kind of makes more sense, and it don't have me quite as, I guess, scared of thinking that I'm one, which I don't know if I am or not. I couldn't say. I've never just openly went and tried to find these things.
Sure. Well, I will say that, you know, out of fairness, I think we all are to some degree. I just think it's part of one of those things that's inside of every one of us, but some people are just born with it turned on, with that switch on. And it doesn't imply that, that makes you so much different from other people, but I think that you're just one of those people that has that awareness, even if it's almost subconsciously most of the time. I just think that, you know, it's very possible that that is your situation, and that's why you continue to experience so much stuff, because you just, you know, for some reason or another, maybe that switch in you is on, that's about the only explanations I can think of, you know, of the two possibilities, and it makes sense to me, because I think a lot of people are like that, you know, that they don't really realize, you know, why things continue to happen to them. But that's one of the common denominators that I can think, is just that they are being serving as a beacon of sorts, whether they know it or not. And so the spirits and other things can be drawn to them. There is something else, you know, just by virtue of having been in a haunted location, that, you know, that can sometimes be a catalyst, I think, for some people to switch that on as well. So it might be by virtue of just being in that house that suddenly became, you know, a part of your reality. But some people are, that way from their birth, is that they're just on. But I do think that you brought up a good point that, you know, if in the cases of people experiencing things like Bigfoot, they seem to be more prone to have more experiences after that. And I think the same thing is true for people that have had hauntings. So.
Yeah.
But I hope that makes sense.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Now, as far as like my situation, would that allow me to hear people that are no longer with us? Like,
oh, absolutely.
A good example, I'm not sure. Do you live up in the Northwest? A few years ago, a fire went through the Northwest, up around Oregon and California area.
Yeah, I'm in the north of Idaho.
Okay. A few years ago, the wildfire that went across, I can't think of that highway, but it leads down from Seattle straight down to the California-Oregon line, had the wildfire, it started jumping the highway, and it had burned up a couple of trucks, and they rerouted traffic. Well, before they started rerouting the traffic, I was actually headed towards the fire. I didn't know it, but I was headed towards the fire, and I come up on an exit, and I don't know if it was just I don't know what it was, but it sounded like my great-grandma, my grandfather was a long-haul truck driver as well. It sounded just like him saying, you need to take this exit.
Ooh, wow.
Like, this is clear as day, you need to take this exit. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he knows a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the exit and start following the road. And as I'm going, I keep hearing, it's like he's giving me directions.
Wow.
Like, you're going to go this far and take this, and then you're going to take this. And then I have my radio on in my truck, and as soon as I make the exit, it comes on the radio that they're shutting the road down because the fire is jumping across the road. In my head, I'm thinking, oh, maybe that might have been my grandpa just trying to keep me from...
Yeah.
Being in that kind of danger. So I'd always wondered if being as I have those experiences, if it allows me to hear stuff like that. But
yeah, I would say
I've never really done it.
I would say definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's essentially an awareness, whether you're actively aware of it or not, of the spirits or, you know, spiritual presences. And, you know, and it makes it a lot easier, I think, for, you know, people like your grandfather to come through and say, hey, you know, you might want to do this instead. I'm just glad that you listen to it. A lot of people dismiss those kind of things. You know, people like, oh, I'm crazy now. But you paid attention to it, so good for you.
But that's pretty much all the experiences that I can really recollect altogether that I've known of all my life. I mean, I've had some weird what I would call occurrences, but I don't really think they're paranormal per se. I mean, they could be. I don't really know. But,
sure.
I guess what I kind of set out for with the email and you're just trying to get some kind of closure as to why it keeps it just become this, I wouldn't say normal, but it's not unusual either that I end up bumping into some an instance or a situation like this and no one else in my family is going through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When we all lived and grew up in the same house, why am I the only one that's experiencing it? But with your explanation of everything, it really makes a lot more sense to me now.
Oh, good.
So,
well, I'm absolutely.
So I do appreciate you giving me the ability to talk to you and giving me an explanation of why it might be happening.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being willing to come on the show and share your experiences as well. You know, it's phenomenal, and to me, it's the greatest part of doing a show is hearing firsthand from people what they're experiencing and to hear their descriptions and stuff. So, I'm just thrilled that you chose to get in touch with me and to do this. So, it's incredible. You've seen some really amazing stuff, and I'm absolutely, you know, secondarily happy that I was able to maybe offer you some insight. And again, I can't be sure, but those are just the things that seem to be real common in all of the research that I've done.
Yeah. And like I said, I've never researched it in my lifetime. Just I'm experiencing it. And I don't want to know why. I wanted to know why, but I didn't want to know why. I didn't want to know if, like, oh, maybe you're possessed and you need a priest right. or something like that. But
right.
But at the same time, I'm like, you know, this is, it's too weird not to know why. I need to know why. Otherwise, if I don't for the rest of my life, I'm just going to be confused. And
right. I would also recommend. I would recommend that you get perhaps some spiritual sage. Now, it sounds kind of flaky to some people, but honest to God, it's just a good thing to do anyway because the sage smoke actually kills bacteria in the air, so it's actually healthy to do it as well. But a lot of people believe that sage, as you're burning it, can push down a lot of negative energy and help to normalize energy in places. So like when you're at home And, you know, if you run through the house and just burn some sage to cleanse, that may help when you have those, you know, those real buildups of energy. And I don't know how that feels to you, but honest to God, it's just a really good baseline thing to do every once in a while, especially if you're noticing like the energy is real supercharged. And like you were saying that, you know, there was just the statements that were made in your home that were just like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, it might be a good time to light up some sage and run through the house quick and just kind of normalize that energy level.
So where's the best place to find sage? Like,
you know, you can find it if you in your travels, if you ever see like if you ever see like Native American stores and stuff like that, they may have sage bundles. You can certainly find it online in places like Amazon or wherever. Just do a search for, you know, spiritual sage and, you know, find some. But I think it's just a great thing. And it might be good to go through the truck every once in a while and do it, you know. And again, I don't mean to...
If I'd have known that, I'd have went through it with the first truck.
Yeah, and it might have helped. Additionally, I would just recommend to you that a lot of times when people experience a lot of paranormal activity, like ghostly stuff, 99, 95, 99% of the time, if you just say, look, I know you're here, but here's the deal. I don't want you scaring me. I don't want you doing this or this. Don't appear. Don't, you know, don't shock me. And, you know, you're welcome to stay if you're willing to stay in peace. But if you mean me harm, you got to get out of here. And a lot of people have had activity either really die down or to diminish completely after they just address it. Because I think it's really important that you claim your space, you know, that because... Yeah. If they are there 99% of the time, they're not evil and not trying to be harmful. They're just trying to get acknowledgement. So if you acknowledge it and say, look, it's fine if you're here, but here's my rules. And if you don't abide by them, you got to get the hell out. You know, a lot of people have stated that after doing that, they've noticed it either diminish really greatly or to cease altogether. So, and if it doesn't, then you know you need other help.
Yeah. So. I don't know if my company would like me calling a priest in for the truck, but I mean, everything's worth a shot.
Well, exactly. But yeah, I mean, and certainly we have other resources through the show of psychics and stuff that are absolutely thrilled to help, just because they want to be there for people that are being traumatized by paranormal activity. So, if you still have a lot of wild activity and you want an extra hand, just let me know.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it. But I haven't experienced anything in probably about 6 months now. So I don't know if it's just died down or if it's just calm before the storm. But time will tell.
Yeah. So. It will, but yeah, just so you know, I mean, we're here. I'll be happy to help any way I can if things get out of hand or if you just have more experiences you want to share. I'd love to hear from you again.
Oh yeah. Like I said, traveling, I've been doing what I do now for probably 5 years now, where I'm actually traveling the country now. And I do end up in a lot of, like right now, I'm in southern Oklahoma, and most, if you've ever been to Oklahoma, you know, most Oklahoma is Native American, so.
Right, right.
Even most, like, from New Mexico over to Southern California, you can't go 2 miles without seeing some form of sign advertising some kind of Native American craft or
there you go,
gift shop or anything like that. So I do end up in a lot of Native American areas, even up in New York City or New York State area. There's Native American reservations where I actually stop and get food at sometimes. So,
good. When you're there, look for that sage, you know. Look for that sage.
Cause yeah,
it's a really powerful.
Kind of what I was asking because
There's
a Native American gift shop here somewhere around here. I'll find something. Cause,
perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But I appreciate you talking to me and offering the help you've had. That's one thing I can really praise shows like yours and Wes's is a lot of people just bring you on to talk to you, and then they don't give you closure at the end of your conversation. And you and Wes really go through trying to help people better understand what they've experienced and maybe even why they experienced, like what you're helping me with now. And it's really a good thing to do, especially in a world where everyone is so open-minded that they're closed-minded.
Right, yeah.
And it really helps to have people like you and Wes to talk to about stuff like this, because people can go their whole life and not say something about anything, and at the end of their life, they're like, man, I wish I could have got that off my chest, because it's bothered me this whole time. And you guys really open up a door for people who've had experiences. Wow. And I know you've had an experience with a UFO. I've been a listener long enough to pick up on that. And I do a lot of work around the Roswell area. So,
man. Wow.
I ever get abducted and get to come back, I'll be sure to call you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'd love to hear about it.
I've seen some weird things in the Roswell area.
So. Oh, wow, really?
Mostly lights. I had one night I was going actually through the city of Roswell. I come out the other side. There was this really solid, I wouldn't say a ball of light, but it looked kind of like a I can't think of the name of it, but it's one of them older style lights, kind of got the long tube light bulb to it.
Okay.
And for a good 2 or 3 miles, it paced my truck. And then at the end of that 2 miles, it was like it hit a wall and then did an elevator effect and just went straight up in the air.
Oh, man.
I thought maybe it was a helicopter at first, but the light just kind of didn't match with it. I mean, it still could have been a helicopter. I really don't know. But it was just weird that a helicopter would be pacing my truck for no particular reason at all.
Right. Wow. That's incredible.
So, yeah, that's really what kind of drew me into the paranormal portal is the stuff that I've experienced, you actually cover and go into great depth with it. And like I mentioned earlier, I've passed the Skinwalker Ranch. I've never seen a Skinwalker. I've never seen a raid. I hope I never see either one of those, because it sounds like the most scariest thing on the face of the earth.
Yeah, it does.
But the episode where y'all are reading off the facts about it, that was interesting. That really let me know that, one, I don't need to meet one. Two, if I do, let's not make eye contact. And three, running's probably not going to help, because it can probably outrun this truck. So.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a creepy, creepy phenomenon. But, yeah, I just really appreciate it, Ty. And thank you so much for sharing all this with us. And I'm glad if I can be of any help, you know, already and in the future. Please just let me know. I'm happy to be there for you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me, and you can't imagine the weight that's been lifted in just this little bit of a talk we've had. But,
oh, fantastic. Great.
But, yes, sir. If I have any more experiences, I'll be sure to email you and let you know what's going on and try to keep you updated with it. And,
excellent.
I will get some of the spiritual sage you said and try to burn it and see if anything, if it just stops altogether or if they continue to go. I'm sure it's like everything else, where it kind of wears off after time. But
sure, right.
But yeah, I'll keep in contact. I appreciate you allowing me to talk to you about it and even offering the explanations and the help that you've offered.
It's my pleasure, brother. I'm glad I could be there for you. And again, just please stay in touch. I'm happy to help in any way.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you drive safely. And thank you again, Ty.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You have a good day.
Okay. We'll talk to you. See ya.
Wow, Ty. Those are some awesome stories. Thank you very much for reaching out to us. And I certainly hope that the words that Brent may have given you help along the way. And, of course, certainly any time you need to maybe call and share another story, we would certainly love to hear it. And once again, thank you very much. Well, folks, that's it for the show. Thank you for joining us once again. And don't forget that we are live 7 days a week on YouTube. That's Paranormal Portal on YouTube starting at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And of course, you can wander over to our Teespring store. That's teesprings.com/stores/paranormal-portal. And you can certainly pick up any gear there you want and show your pride in the paranormal. Thank you again. Have a great day.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.